live from Seattle on 820 AM KGNW. Picks up where we left off. Here's Doug Burge.
You know, the gospel's about healing. It's about restoration. It's about reconciliation. It's about giving people hope. All good stuff that happens through Healing Hearts Ministry. We've got Sue Liljenberg with us, the Executive Director of Healing Hearts Ministry. Sue, welcome to the program.
Good to be here today.
Hey, Sue, can you just give first a big picture statement of what Healing Hearts Ministry is all about?
Healing Hearts is a healing discipleship ministry. We believe that God is big and His Word is powerful and that He can heal any hurt when we bring it before Him. And that's what we do, is we walk women through the Word of God and bring them to a place of hope and healing in Jesus Christ.
Now, I saw a couple focuses, one issue of abuse and one with abortion. Can you talk a little bit about those focuses and why those are important?
Yes. The ministry started out with my own personal experience of having had an abortion when I was 18. And then 10 years later, I came to know the Lord, and God walked me through the scriptures and brought me to a real place of hope and healing. Mm-hmm. As I began to minister to other women, and I wrote our first Bible study, which was Binding Up the Brokenhearted, the Lord made it clear to me that He wanted to deal with more than just the abortions mm-hmm. in their life, that He wanted the Word to apply to their whole life. And so that's the way I wrote the study. And within a few years of women going through that study, we had other women contacting us that had other issues such as domestic violence mm. or sexual abuse or other hurts. And they said, we want what you have, but we haven't had abortions. And so we had so many contacts that I ended up writing our second Bible study, which is The Hem of His Garment. Which is also kind of a reflection of some of my testimony of domestic violence mm-hmm. and things that I had been through that were outside the abortion. So we pretty much minister to women with any kind of a background hurt.
Mm. You know, one of the things that seems to happen in our popular culture when we're contending, let's say, for the sanctity of life, the way people talk in those arguments sometimes can just, I don't know how else to say it, but just cut to the heart of someone who's already had an abortion in contending, let's say, for saying abortion's wrong, or that in those strong statements in a congregation or in the room, it can seem like someone's standing for truth. But while they're doing that, there's someone in the room with hurt that's feeling shamed or embarrassed. Or, you know, can you talk a little bit about that issue of, you know, bringing healing to people who at some level might not feel like they even have a place to go because of the dialogue that's occurring in our society?
Exactly. And I think sometimes Christians are very well-meaning, but an example that you're talking about would be, you know, a group of women, you know, at a coffee clutch at church, and one woman who has never experienced an abortion would say, I just don't know how any woman could kill her baby.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and she's not ill-meaning when she says that, but it hurts really bad if you have had an abortion and you've experienced that. And I think people who are post-abortive, first of all, need to understand that if you haven't been there, it's really hard to understand, and we have to extend forgiveness and grace to those people that make those kind of comments. Mm-hmm. And I really want to encourage women, you know, don't hide and don't separate yourself. You know, there's ministries like ours that want to come alongside you and heal those wounds, so that we can go back into our churches and minister to other women and educate the body of Christ that it's not a good idea to say those kind of things. We need yeah. to be very sensitive to the hurts of others.
Well, you know, it's a really good point, and I think sometimes people can have this idea of us and them, and we don't realize that in the room is us and them, that it's just we, and there's a lot more complicated stories. I know I've certainly found that with people
right.
I dearly love and the church that I serve, that when you get right. behind the veil, you find there's hurts and brokenness and just a lot of normal people, and normal people
absolutely.
Are complex.
You know, one thing, Doug, people don't realize is that according to U.S. News and World Report, 43% or more of the women in the United States have had at least one abortion. Mm-hmm. So if that's, and that's a secular statistic, so if that's correct, then probably about half of the women sitting in our churches or more have had an abortion. And so we really need to think about that when we speak boldly for the truth, but yet need to be sensitive to those people that are sitting in our congregations.
Can you talk about healing? Because the idea of healing over time, I know sometimes people are like, well, you know, you repent of something or you have someone pray for you and you move on. Can you talk about the importance of healing being a process in a devotional or a discipleship context?
Right. I think it's important, you know, there are a lot of people that do believe that, you know, time heals all wounds, but I believe God's word heals all wounds.
Hmm.
And so it's very important, especially for women that have had abortions, to come alongside with, say, you know, all of our counselors have had abortions, to be able to walk alongside that person and to be able to confess and really admit, you know, what happened, how it happened, some of the hurts that are connected with that, to face those truths head on and then go to God's word and use the word of God to wash those wounds. You know, that doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Yeah.
That happens in a purposed environment where you have somebody who loves you that will walk alongside you and minister to your heart. And when that happens, you'll never be the same again.
Mm-hmm.
Because when God's word cleanses those wounds, you know, he strengthens you and he moves you forward in your walk, in your life. You know, we've had women who have come to us that had been dealing with the issue of their abortions for like over 20 years. And when they go through a 10-week purpose study on the issue, they come out the other side and go, oh, my goodness, I had no idea how bound up I really was. And now I'm really free. And they're ready to really serve the Lord and to glorify him with their life.
Mm. I think about healing occurs in community, and yet any area of our life that's broken. And one of the things when I'm doing a topic like this, if someone who's had an abortion is listening and saying, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, I don't have a problem with that, then I'm not your judge, but I'm bringing this to, there are people where you are struggling with this. That's your struggle. It's something you
right.
don't know what to deal with. And so we're giving you opportunity, if that's an area, a safe place where people would understand that. And the goal
Absolutely.
Is to be able to meet where you have a need that you need met and someone who could understand that. So that's the heart
Absolutely.
In which I bring this. And but with that idea of it takes time, doesn't it? This concept of does it happen like gradually for people, or are there these breakthroughs? Is it having a safe environment? Because healing occurs in community, and I've seen a lot of people in these areas. There's isolation in the decision making. There's isolation in the pain. It's hard to
right.
come into community. Is part of that too, where you build up trust? I mean, can you? Because I do think that's a huge issue, that we make a lot of our decisions in private, and then we carry the pain in private. And we need
Absolutely.
That healing in community.
Right. What we see for the most part, because most of the time the women that we see have gone several years trying to deal with it themselves. But when we see that when we purposely walk a woman through our Bible study, in 10 weeks, she's set free. She needs that guidance and direction and walking through God's word, and it answers those questions that have been kind of plaguing her mind for years. And the word is powerful, and we see women truly set free and move on with their lives. But if they don't walk through something like that purposed, and they don't look into God's word, it does take a long, long time.
Yeah.
To be able to heal those hurts.
Yeah, I think about the idea that so often people don't understand that they live with a level of shame or a level of fear, and that
right.
the idea is not another event to make you feel bad about yourself and others, but to show you the love of God, and that from the love of
Absolutely.
God we present our lives, you know, in all its brokenness to
Absolutely.
The Lord.
Absolutely.
But before, I want to talk about other things, but if someone wants to contact Healing Hearts Ministry, what's the best way to do that?
The best way to do that is through our website. You can go on our website at healinghearts.org, and we actually have all of our Bible studies online, and the online system will connect you up with a counselor to walk you through whichever Bible study you choose to enroll in. And then you can also go online to see if there are any live groups going on in your area. We have a drop-down menu that will show you where local counselors are that are doing groups in their churches, and also an area where you can just contact the ministry if you have any other questions.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other area you talked about, the Lord told you to look into just abuse in general and to provide Bible study and resources for people dealing in that area. Is this the whole spectrum, or is it just people who are currently in the midst of this or have struggled with abuse in the past?
It's usually people who have struggled with those issues in the past. They're not. We don't have the resources
right.
to deal with women who are currently experiencing like domestic violence or anything like that. It's usually a past issue that we deal with.
Hmm. Now, someone who's dealt with abuse in the past, is there a common a lie that they believe about themselves in the present that needs to be confronted?
I think they believe they're not worthy. Hmm. They're not worthy of a better life. I think that comes with almost any hurt
yeah.
or issue, and they walk in a lot of fear. And I think it's important, especially with abuse issues, to get back, you know, to the old issue of why you made some of the choices that you made, and asking God to show you how you cannot continue to make those choices.
Yeah. Because you get that cycle. Is it, you're saying there's a part of a cycle of someone could been abused when they were younger, and that's they were a victim. It's not something that they did, but then they now have this belief about themselves that they're not worthy, and so
Absolutely.
Then as adults they put themselves in positions where they can be used again or harmed because of their own sense of their worth. That kind of idea.
Absolutely, and you know Jesus doesn't want us to have a victim mentality. He wants us to have a victorious mentality. And so that's something that I think it's hard. I mean, I kind of dealt with some of those issues with the whole domestic violence thing, and it wasn't like, you know, I just walked out of it one day, shabam, and it was over. But God is faithful, and he really showed me as I went and asked him those very important questions of my own choices and personality and everything, and he showed me in his word how I could walk out of that victim-type mentality.
Mm. For you, was that the idea of, I know the enemy loves to take away our voice, you know, say, don't speak. And when you speak, be ashamed of what you said, you know, those sorts of things. Did there
right.
come a point where you just went, no, I have the right to speak? And I'm not even talking about just coming out of abuse, but just in contending for something and pushing ahead and reaching others. Was that a process, or were there a few moments that you really realized, no, not only do I have a right to speak, I'm going to speak. This is what I've been created to do.
Right. Well, I think it happened with my healing, and that doesn't mean that everybody's called to speak out, but I knew that God had a calling on my life, and I had a tremendous burden to speak out about the issues that I faced in my life because I knew there were other people that needed the healing that I'd received. And then the second part of that was I knew that there were women out there that were about ready to make the same mistake that I had made.
Mm.
And I wanted to make it perfectly clear that this is not a good choice.
Mm. Hey,
and so I've even had women that I've shared my testimonies in churches, and I've had women come up to me later and say, you know, I was considering an abortion until I heard your testimony, and I decided not to do that.
Yeah, I think about we don't know even where those things go, the worth of it. I think that's the other struggle. Sometimes we assume we know the worth of what we do and who will receive it and who won't. And it's almost you said the word is what heals people earlier. Like it's the word. It's also Christ in us. We don't understand the power of it necessarily, but there's
Absolutely.
A power in that as we're obedient. There's a few more things I'd like to talk with you about, specifically if someone's listening right now who struggled with childhood abuse and is just kind of right now, they're listening barely. They want to turn away. They're concerned, all those things. I want first, if someone's listening like that, I want you to stay with us. And when we come back, Sue, could we talk for that person, maybe a next step for them to be able to have
sure.
some hope? Okay. I'm talking with Sue Liljenberg, the executive director of Healing Hearts Ministry. You can go to healinghearts.org for more information, but stay tuned. There's more to come.
Live from Seattle with Doug Bursch continues after this on 820 AM KGNW. Now back to Live from Seattle on 820 AM KGNW. Here again is your host, Doug Bursch.
I'm talking with Sue Liljenberg, the executive director of Healing Hearts Ministry. Sue, we had someone call during the break, just wanted a phone number. Is there a phone number people can call as well?
We have so many counselors, we don't have one phone number. They
okay.
would need to probably go on the website if they could.
Okay.
If not, we do have an office number that they could call.
Well, maybe let's do that. Sorry, I just interrupted you.
Okay.
What is the number?
That's right. 253-268-0348. The only problem is it's not there's not somebody there all the time.
No, I get it. Can you say it one more time? And I get it. We'll also, people can go to healinghearts.org and do contact information there. But what's the number again?
And it's 253-268-0348.
Thank you. I was thinking about this concept. I know we have people listening who've come through victoriously and healing and hope, dealing with childhood abuse. But I know we have others listening at some level. It's like, you know, I dealt with that. I escaped that. I moved on. I don't want to deal with this. And at some level, the fact that I don't want to deal with this and there's still the anxiety that maybe they need to deal with it. Can you talk to someone who's listening, who's experienced childhood abuse? They moved on with their life, did the best they know how, but why it might be important for them to find healing and to put some focus towards this area in their life.
Right. I think, Doug, a lot of counseling is so focused on the abuse that eventually people who have been abused, they just get tired of talking about it because they don't move on. And I think, people who are listening that have been through maybe a secular type of counseling for abuse and they're weary and they just say, I just don't want to deal with this. I just want to move on with my life. That's what we want to help you do. You know, there's a certain amount of knowing, you know, what happened with the abuse. It's important for the counselor to help you walk through it. But what we do is we point you and have you look toward the Lord and look toward the cross and look at God's love and compassion and healing and what happened on the cross and what Jesus did to pay for the penalty of your abuser's sin, to pay for the healing that he wants you to have. And I think when you switch that focus, it gives people hope. Yeah. And we've had many, we had a group of ladies where all four of them were sisters who experienced the abuse of the same father. And they finally came to a place and said, you know, we just have to deal with this. And the amazing thing is not only did they get healed, but then their mother came through and she got healed. Now they have a niece that's come through and she's getting healing. So, you know, be brave because this healing may be for more than just you. It could be for your whole family.
Wow, that's a really good point.
Yeah, and so it's amazing to see how God has worked, but people need to move on. They want to move on. They don't want to be stuck in that abuse situation. And so that's what we do. We help them focus on the cross.
You know, I like what you said about the cross, too. I was kind of early on in the pastorate, when I would talk about the cross, I would only talk about it in terms of Christ dying for our sins, and certainly that is the message of the cross. But the message of the cross is also that Christ also identified with those who've been sinned against. And that idea that we only, our Savior, can, one, understand the justice of bringing justice to our sins and the sins of others, but also to identify with being sinned against. And I think sometimes we don't say that enough. And someone who's abused, and we only talk about Christ bringing justice to our sins, then we also put them in a place, well, what about the harm that's been done to me? And that's the power of the cross. It meets both sides of the equation.
Absolutely.
Healing Hearts ministry, next step for someone who's in that place, is it a talk to a friend? Like, I've even thought about this. Is it just go to the website and connect that way? Or is it talk to a friend and have that friend come with you as you take a next step? What would you say is the next step?
I would just say if they could go to the website and look and see if there's a counselor in their area, or they could call the office number. We're in Puyallup. Our number, again, is 253-268-0348. And just sign up. We have several groups that will be starting real soon within the King and Pierce County area. So a lot of our leaders usually start their groups mid-January. So I know
how many people are in a group, by the way? Like, how many would be in one group?
We do small groups. We do usually four people in a group because we know it's an intimate type situation, and people, you know, don't like big crowds when they're talking about intimate things.
Sure.
And it also gives a smaller group gives more time to share and more time for personal ministry. So we usually try to stick to four in a group.
What would you say to someone who goes, well, I don't want to be with anybody but myself? Why is the group dynamic important?
Well, the group dynamic can be important because one thing about people that experienced hurt and abuse is that they usually feel isolated.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you can come together in a small group format and you can see that others have experienced the similar things that you've experienced, and you can see that you're loved and accepted in that small group, it makes it easier to step into larger groups of people and step out of that victim mentality. It no longer keeps you isolated. Now, there are some people that, you know, the group situation is not even the issue. It's an issue of time and that kind of thing. And to be able to participate would be hard. And that's why we offer our online studies, because it's so convenient if you travel or if you just don't have the time to go somewhere midweek. The online studies are a great way to walk through the healing process.
So how is this supported? Is it just donations or?
We are a faith-based ministry. A lot of our former clients support us and give back, and we just trust the Lord for our finances, and He's good and He does provide.
Well, I just love that idea. I know obviously it's great for people to be in community, but that a ministry also says we're going to provide these resources to you online as well, to me, is just something that I think is worth noting and greatly appreciated.
Right.
Are you doing anything for youth or young women?
Yes, we are. We're very excited. We just launched our new Teen Girl Bible Study, and it is a discipleship study called First Love. And we're very excited about that because it's developed so that a mother can take her teenage daughter through it, or a youth worker can take a small group of girls through it. And basically, it's exactly what it's called. It's First Love. What is love? What does it look like? Where does it come from? How do I identify it? And in this discipleship study, it's actually a 22-week study, and we explore and address all of the issues that teen girls are bombarded with today, such as body image, self-gratification, pornography, sex outside of marriage, same-sex marriage. We try to address just about everything that these kids are being bombarded with every day in their lives.
Well, that sounds great. You have a chapter on Justin Bieber as well, I assume.
Probably. If there's something in there, there should be anyway.
But in general, he'll be addressed indirectly through things.
And actually, we are going to be having a mother-daughter conference here in the Kent area in September.
Oh, and can they find the information on the website as well for that?
Eventually they will.
Okay.
It's not on there yet. We're still kind of making the arrangements, but it'll be for mothers and daughters of teen girls from ages 13 through 19. And our author will be here, and we'll speak. It'll be an all-day conference. And, you know, our heart's desire is to really help these young girls know not to make the choices that we all made.
Well, I'm sorry. I realize I got to go to the break here, and I got another guest coming on. But can you come back on and talk about that? Because I'd love to just highlight that conference in
general. You know what? I could have the author come.
Oh, that would be awesome.
So
let's do that.
Give us a call.
But I want to let people know this, that, again, a great resource in our community locally, healinghearts.org. You can find the information there. You can get help. Friendly people are going to love on you. Even if you choose not to take a next step, I'm sure someone would like to talk with you a little bit and help you in this. Healinghearts.org. When we come back, we're going to talk to Blake Rainey, Young Life Director in West Seattle. Much more to come.